Good morning, everyone. My name is Andy Krasner, and as you can tell, we have an incredibly long acronym, the STDRH TTAC. I'm the manager of it, and I'd like to acknowledge that my colleague Jennifer Kawatu is in the audience. She also was a part of this national needs assessment that I'm going to talk about. So just to give you a little context, as you know, ACA was passed in 2010, and we could talk for about 20 minutes just about the implications to safety net providers. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to skip a lot of those points, but a couple of years later, CDC funded the STDRH TTAC. There are 10 regional training and technical assistance centers, and our main function is to provide billing, training, and technical assistance to STD clinics and public health laboratories. As we're starting our project, we obviously wanted to do a needs assessment to see who needed billing, training, and technical assistance, and who didn't, basically. And we, instead of doing 10 regional needs assessments, we worked with the other managing organizations to do a national needs assessment. And we did 3 national needs assessments. We had 3 target populations: STD certified 340B clinics, public health laboratories, and the STD programs that are supporting those. I'd like to just briefly acknowledge that this was a huge effort, a nationwide effort of managing organizations working with STD directors. So if you're out there and you participated in this needs assessment, thank you. And if you are out there and you helped us collect and report this data, thank you very much. So going into the needs assessment, we had 3 key evaluation questions. What's the billing status of the STD certified 340B clinics, which I'm just going to call clinics from now on? And that means, were they billing their clients, were they billing Medicaid, and were they billing other third-party payers? And then I'm not going to be able to talk about the second evaluation question today, but I've got slides here if you want to see it later. And then what types of billing, training, and technical assistance needs did those people who were not billing have? So our target or intended target audience was the STD certified 340B clinics that did not receive Title X funding. The participation rate was great. It was 72% and nationally representative. As you can see, there were a lot of clinics in this needs assessment. There were over 1,900 clinics, and 25% of them are not currently billing Medicaid or other third-party payers like Blue Cross Blue Shield. 30% are billing Medicaid only, and 45% of them are billing both Medicaid and third-party payers. So we collected several different demographic variables, and we looked at billing status by demographic variables. And the first one I'm going to talk about is site type. So if you look across the bottom of the slide, you'll see that health department, we are looking at health department STD clinics, health department family planning clinics, community health centers or lookalikes, Planned Parenthood or freestanding family planning clinics, and then other, which included other types of health department clinics, jails, and university or school-based clinics, among others. I think what's striking about this graph is that you see that the health department STD clinics are the least likely to be billing both Medicaid and third-party payers, and the most likely not to be billing at all. I'm sorry that it's right before lunch, and I'm going to give you like 9 graphs to look at, so you'll just have to bear with me. We looked at billing status by clinic size, and the small clinics were a lot less likely to be billing than the large clinics. For those that have 500 annual visits or less, there's only 13% of them that are billing both Medicaid and third-party payers. So for those of you who don't have an idea of what 500 annual visits might mean, I work with a clinic help them initiate billing. They're only open a couple days a week. They have a couple of nurse practitioners, a part-time admin person. They only offer services for a couple of hours. So they don't have a lot of staff. And then there are those clinics that are much larger, like the Denver clinic that we just heard from, that have 10,000 annual visits. They have multiple cadres of staff. They have just a lot more resources, like electronic medical records that the previous speaker spoke of. So we looked at the characteristics of clinics not billing, and they were STD clinics. STD clinics were more likely than the other site types not to be billing. Clinics providing STD services only, as opposed to integrated services, integrated being with family planning services. And then again, small clinics. And for all you data geeks out there, myself included, everything was statistically significant. We are funded regionally, and so we were actually interested to see what the billing status was across the different regions. And as you can see, there's a lot of variation of need by region. In fact, every region has a different pattern of billing. I'm not going to go through every region, but I want to just point out a few that I think are of note. Region 2 and Region 3 have 73% and 88% of their clinics not billing at all. And in Region 4, they have over 40% of their clinics currently billing, but what you can't really see from this graph very easily is that it's 40% of our sample, and so the sheer numbers of clinics that are not billing in Region 4 is going to be a challenge for that regional training center. And then in Region 6, they have almost 100% of their clinics billing Medicaid, so they're one step along the continuum, but not quite all the way there. This is a state-by-state view of the percent of clinics billing both Medicaid and third-party payers. The orange is the lowest percentage of clinics billing both third-party payers and Medicaid, and the dark green is 90% or more. And as you can see, states along the south are the least likely to have clinics billing both Medicaid and third-party payers, and along the eastern seaboard. These correspond, again, to regions 2 and 3 and 4 and 6. The previous speaker talked about the fact that they have an electronic health record and they use it for electronic billing. It is helpful but not necessary to have an EHR and practice management software to go with it to do electronic billing. So we wanted to know who had one, and basically less than half of our sample had an electronic health record. When we stratified this by site type, there was a huge disparity. Community health centers, 70% of them were likely to have EHR, where only 30% of STD clinics had an EHR. And when you look at this by size, again, small clinics are a lot less likely to have EHR than the larger ones. The clinics and agencies that participated in this needs assessment shared thoughtful and legitimate concerns and barriers to billing, as the previous speaker, I'm so glad he went first, said, and you just don't start up billing in one day. It is a process. And so I thought it would be helpful to hear what some of the people said in their own words. The first thing they talked about is fear of discrimination from an insurance company, or fear that information collected could be shared with third party, like immigration services. It costs more to bill and follow up than the cost of the visit, so it has not been thought to be worthwhile. Although health departments use expanded role nurses, private insurance does not recognize them as a provider of services. This is not totally true, but they do pay them a lot less. And there will be no more hiring of new staff due to county hiring freeze, which is indefinite. And we heard this a lot, that there's a lot of staffing barriers. Confidentiality was also discussed. One respondent said patients come to us because they want anonymity and they don't want to use their insurance. When we looked at the categorical data for barriers, you see the number one barrier to billing was health department policy. This is both written and de facto. Not enough staff to initiate billing was the second. IT limitations, they don't have practice management software or an EMR. And then again, confidentiality concerns. So these all have to be addressed before people can really begin billing. So we also wanted to know, obviously, because we're training centers, what people's training and technical assistance needs were. And it's, I think, a little bit hard for you to see. We had a list of about 14 training and technical assistance needs. I've only listed the top six, and you can see more than 50% of people said that they needed these types of training. The top one is coding, and just realize that this graph is asking of all clinics, both billing and non-billing, what their TA needs are. So coding, for those of you who are not in this business, we're moving from ICD-9 to ICD-10 coding, so a lot of training is needed to go move to the new system, and so you can see why that would be number one. The second thing is to establish protocols for billing documentation and quality assurance. And the third was to conduct a cost analysis for STD services, as the previous speaker noted that they did. So when you look at this and you stratify this by those who are not billing at all, they actually want help with partnerships, also spoken about by the previous speaker, and learning about billing. What is billing? Billing 101. And when we looked at this by site type, this is sort of a busy graph, but we found that health department STD clinics were more likely to ask for confidentiality and quality assurance training and technical assistance than the other types of site types. So I've included the slides for the other national needs assessments that we did, but I'm not going to go through them today. I'd like to acknowledge the managing organizations of the other 10 STD-RH TTACs. They were instrumental in doing this coordinated needs assessment. They worked with STD directors. Again, I can't say thank you enough for all of that work. And to the CDC staff, Michelle Thomas, who is our project officer, Dr. Raul Romaguero, and Dr. Gail Bolin for their leadership. I do want to mention that that you can find us at stdtac.org, and that there is a national billing toolkit for STD clinics that we are going to launch in July. So come visit us at stdtac.org. Thank you very much.